You are listening to Demise of the Podcast with Patrick Attaway, my podcast where I discuss writing specifically today. Nobody's writing. We're not discussing writing today at all. We're just reading. I wrote a story specifically for the podcast called Chester Thompson. Was it Chester Thompson? Who knows? It was Chester Studi. That's right. Sorry, new character. And this week, I wrote something that happens after that story from the perspective of Nero. You've already seen the title, so you know that this is Nero 2161. And truth be told, I don't really have anything to talk about. So, if you're ready, I'm ready. We're just going to get into Nero. Next week, I don't want to spoil it, but we do have another story that I'm working on that happens after this one. And then for the 200th episode, we're going to start reading Demise with Demise of the Trinity Revisited. And I'm just going to keep going with that until I get tired of it, I guess. If you would like to support the podcast, I suggest you go buy my books on Amazon. Because I don't have a Patreon, I don't have a Cash App, I don't have any of that shit that people do to try to scam you out of your money. I'm kidding, of course. I don't have a Patreon because, for one thing, I don't know that many people would want to actually purchase a subscription to listen to this podcast or extra content. But also, I've never done this for money. This has always been free. I've never had ads. The only time I've ever done anything to promote anyone other than myself would be when I had W.B. Welch on the podcast. Otherwise, if you don't want to buy my books because you're illiterate for some reason or you just have bad taste, you can go listen to my music. It's on Spotify or wherever you stream music under the name Lurking Vowel, and I will receive pennies from your listenership. One thing that I'm going to do differently than last week is I'm not going to read the entire thing in a special voice. I didn't know what to do for Chester. I just knew he was young. And I wanted him to, you know, come across a certain way. I didn't want it to just be another dark tale. So he is a little lighthearted about his murder and whatnot. But with Nero, I have an established, you know, vocal fry for him. However, you know, reading 16 pages of that right now does not sound appealing to me. So I'm going to read the dialogue in the funny voices, but not the main, you know, content. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy Nero 2161. Considering most new American restaurants are built on nostalgia for fast food we never experienced, eating tacos with nacho cheese flavored shells and sour cream at 7 p.m. across from Birch and Chester is the second most unexpected event that took place today. The most was Birch appeared in my kitchen. It's been over 2 decades, and nothing makes time seem more fleeting than when you see someone and it feels like only a year has passed. Granted, I accomplished a lot in Atlanta. What took me a lifetime only takes Birch an hour. While the kid's mouth is full, I say, "Do you want to tell me where you were?" "No," Birch says. "I don't want to take up the rest of the evening trying to explain." "Why come back at all?" "I missed reality. You can only run around in a funhouse for so long." "Funhouse?" I ask. "Like at a carnival," Chester speaks up. "All the weird mirrors and curvy floors." "You went to how many carnivals in the military?" I ask. "None. I read about them." "I never liked carnivals," Birch says. "What the fuck are we talking about?" I ask. "Where did you go for 20 years? "It was more like 20,000 lifetimes," Birch says. "I really think we should invest some time in these schools for orphans." "I told him about it on the way here," Chester says. "He blipped you here like a teleportation terminal," I say. "He's good at being brief and straight to the point," Birch says. "You shouldn't discount the guy's intelligence." And now I feel like the only logical person in the room. There was a time when I was always the dumbest guy, no matter how many geniuses and idiots you stuffed into a gymnasium. Wherever Birch went, he doesn't want to tell me. I'm sure he wants to recreate his weird beach house and be left alone. I'd like for Chester to follow suit. The kid has trouble for me because I can't stop him if he gets out of control. Birch is being kind now, but he can also end both of us prematurely. I have a few more years of stalking through Atlanta for new faces to break. Thank you for dinner, I say. I bet you have old haunts to see. Since you sold my property, Birch says, there are about 50 houses on top of my old haunts. I left a time when I had a home only to come back homeless. Now you have a problem that requires my help. Collins was just the cherry on top, Chester says. We're not making ice cream analogies in my house, I say. Birch, if you're not going to explain anything, what do we have to talk about? I lost Rosa because of whatever you did back in 2140. I hope wherever you were, it was worth killing the woman I loved. Why didn't you ask Lilith to bring her back? Birch asks. Because that's going to create more problems, I say. I can go take a nap or something while you two talk this over. No, you're leaving, I say. I told you not to come back. The school system, Nero, Birch says. I need you to help us with this because it's not as simple as me snapping my fingers to make it all better. Why do you want to change the world for the better now? I ask. You let this problem fester for years. I have a lot to atone for thanks to my laziness, Birch says. You two can cross swords and figure this out, I say. I try to pick up my taco wrappers when they dissolve into nothing. Birch wanting my help is likely a prelude to the conversation where he offers to kill me. Having spent almost 60 years on this planet with my muscles and joints showcasing the time each morning when I manage to get out of bed, I cannot foresee myself happy to be here much longer, but I definitely don't want to admit that I'm done. People in the Trinity typically do not live long lives, settle down, or get to retire from minding the herd. Go outside, Birch says. Nero and I have a few things to reconcile. Cool, Chester gets up to leave. At one point, I feared Birch because he could end my life. However, that's the worst he can do to me now. I'm sure we're going to have lots of fun reminiscing about the times I took Rosa from Emerald Isle, moved to Portland with the woman he was dating, or when I witnessed him murder Lucifer. Rosa asked me to come back, Birch says. I wasn't really sure how to do that until she came to me. See, the night I disappeared, I thought I'd killed everyone here. Maybe there's a timeline where I did just that. But now I'm back where I came from. Nero, I watched you die time and time again. I tried so many different ways to make my life better. It was a cycle I never quite figured out how to perfect. So now that I'm here, I know I can't die until the world ends. That means it's my job to balance good and evil. But I can still do a lot of good. Nice story, I say. What do you want from me? As a favor to Chester, we're going to incentivize the new American government to restructure the school system so that no child has to suffer the way that he did. The idea is to make an example out of one school so the world is aware they even exist and how bad the conditions are. Since when do you want to help children? I ask. All right, Nero, Birch says. You can either help us or die. I already told Lilith that the moment you die, she has to bring back Rosa unless we resolve this. That means you'll never see her again, and I'm going to brainwash her into being my pet. Now, do you want to help the kids or die? Fine, I say. What happens? Birch grabs me by the wrist, and the skin on my arms straightens. The constant dull pain in my lower back disappears. My vision renders a clearer image of the room as everything grows more vibrant and the air flows into my lungs smoother. Welcome back to your 20s, Birch says. My chair falls back as I rush out of the room to the hallway bathroom, turn on the light, and see a much different man in the reflection. Aside from my dark hair returning, the pronounced wrinkles around my eyes and blemishes are gone. Despite that I am the same man, it's obvious that my age molded me into something I lost in my younger self. I forgot how pretty I was. After this, Birch calls to me, you can do whatever you want. If you want to sell your soul to be with Rosa, I'll send you right to her. I doubt Birch returned for the sake of children, and everyone has motivations beyond their pure goal. There's no such thing as pure intent when it comes to helping other people. However, we are judged on the result of our actions rather than the reasons behind them. Nobody has to know you're feeding the homeless because you refused to give a guy money on the street and saw him lying dead in the gutter the next day. I have never once said I wanted to go to hell, I say. Not even for her. We stand near each other in the living room, and I remember how I've always been so much bigger than him. And that's one reason Prudence ran off with me to Portland. She thought Birch was too small for her, since she was over 6 feet tall. You could have made yourself taller, I say. You could change everything if you thought you weren't handsome. Yeah, Birch nods. I can do anything, yet feel nothing as a result. Typically, when I see a man about to kill a helpless old woman, I assume they have a perversion and that lady isn't just about to die. Chester wasn't acting out of self-defense, of course. Nice deflection, I say. You don't need magic or powers to change, Nero. Making myself taller wouldn't make me happy. Killing that woman isn't going to make Chester forget everything she put him through. But he has potential, and if we stand by him and fix the problem that made him want to hurt someone, maybe we can save a lot of other people in the future from men like us. What's your plan? I ask. Rather than drive down to Valdosta, trick armed security into letting us through the gate, and murder a bunch of people, Birch takes us directly to the school, which resembles a county jail more than a one-story facility with a bunch of halls and charming library at the center. Chester looks at us as if he's a six-year-old about to enter a haunted house on Halloween. I asked about a plan, I say. We can set off the fire alarm and expect everyone to file out, Chester says. The students have to go into the courtyard whenever there's a drill. Only one door goes in and out here. Unless you make a new way out, Birch says. I'm going to send you inside to make sure the area is clear. Then I'm going to blast through this wall. What's he going to do? Chester gestures to me. He's going to hold off any guards that try to stop the children from coming out here. I'm going to create a storm that's going to come up from the Florida line. Everyone will have to move north. Wait, I say. If this is the kind of place to make children go to the center of a structure during a fire drill, don't you think they have a contingency plan for raids or breakouts? No one ever makes it out, Chester says. I never did. And there won't be a building left for them to be brought back to, Birch says. When Chester disappears, I turn to give Birch one of his classic bitch expressions, but he's already against the north wall of the building with his body lighting up like a firefly. I assume there are multiple guards, and I can't be in more than one place at a time. There's already a truck heading in my direction with two guys holding automatic rifles aimed for fire. What are the chances they're trained to shoot children that make it outside?
Birch,
I call.
Birch!
Stay where you are, one of the hired guns calls. I run at the hood of the truck, dive down as it draws near, and let them roll past me before I grab the rear bumper and pull myself off the ground. By the time the driver stops, I'm in the bed with the two gunmen who have to push themselves against the rear of the cab so they don't fall forward. When they notice me, I grab both of the rifle barrels before they begin firing. All three of us look over after an explosion shoots some men out of the building and lands all around us. With the rifles in my grasp, I tug with all my body weight so these assholes topple over and ram my foot into the back of their necks. It won't kill them, but they're not getting up without a gurney. The driver runs out as children pour outside, and he commands them to stop with his 9mm drawn. I get him right in the left ear with one of the automatic rifles. I can only save those willing to fight me. Men that aim weapons at the innocent deserve to die if I have to risk one of those kids getting shot. As I'm running toward the hole where the students file out like roaches, Birch makes good on his word as thunder shakes the ground. While I expect a bunch of men trying to herd the kids inside, I didn't think about more trucks showing up. It's rare for even a government official to have a vehicle these days. I could try yelling for Chester to come out here, but he's likely doing something important like unlocking doors or finding his old collection of buttons in the janitor's closet. Instead, I tell the kids to keep running, even as the armed men ready their rifles to turn the tide back. I hold my rifle steady against the empty truck where my new friends lie passed out in the back and aim for the men closest to the center of the children's wave. Firing might result in one of the many little heads getting popped off, though. I'm not fast enough to get every armed man before someone gets hurt either. Either a freight train is passing through or a tornado is coming. Each truck flips in a domino formation, and the children pass by the newly formed spaces as Birch flies through the guards and makes me question why I even came along. He doesn't need me. Chester is waving his arms in the air, indicating the school is clear. The thunder seems to rumble a lot harder as slabs of cement collapse into one another. Birch and Chester stand on each side of me while the prison transforms into ruins. Neither of them mentioned what we're doing with all these children, but I suppose they never actually mattered in comparison to the message Birch wanted to send.
What about them? I pointed the students.
I'm putting them in a facility I'm making in Atlanta, Birch says. They'll be taken care of.
Anything is better than this place, Chester says.
Now that we've created this mess, I say, can I go home now?
Want to come with me, Chester? Birch asks.
Sure, I'll help.
If I had Birch's power, I could have caught Oliver Loria before anyone had to die. I would have transported all those kids to safety before a bunch of ex-military goons tried to gun them down. But they'd also make me irrelevant. The satanic power is a mask that anyone can wear, a sword that knows no true owner. Birch threatened me into helping him when he could have done this alone. His abilities make Chester and myself useless, and serves as a constant reminder that we're living in his world, and he decides when we die. I had to humble myself and go to him when I'm ready to die. I have now been alone longer than I knew Rosa, and holding her soul over my head is poor blackmail. Prior to my time, and even before New America, there was a subcategory of pseudoscience that convinced men they could achieve a superior sense of masculinity. Like all theories and practices, some of them worked while others were a waste of time. Having spent a few too many hours in the Atlanta library trying to spend as much time exercising my brain as my wearing muscles, I discovered ice baths. Reading books while shivering in near-freezing water doesn't lend itself to focus or keeping the pages dry, so I bought a TV for my home gym. As a result, I'm able to keep up with all the stupid checks and balances in Washington, D.C., which makes me long for my youth when the system began in 2085, just kept working as it always did. A Supreme Court and president. Admittedly, I didn't learn much about the United States in school because the educational system still isn't maintained well, but I found the entire experience boring as shit. While we were a country, we also had states that made up individual governments that only answered to the federal government if they accepted federal funding. Each state had its own laws and could refuse federal funding if they wanted to supersede the national law. The whole concept was a disaster that only lasted about 250 years. Now, state territory is only referred to for the sake of tradition. There's nothing that actually separates Tennessee from Georgia legally, and certainly no local elections. We vote for the president every 5 years, and only one of them has ever received a second term. That was because of Birch. There's this newer lady on the Supreme Court, Veritas Minor, who apparently grew up in Cumming, which is the worst name for a city. Each time she speaks, I think every woman in New America with good sense clenches every muscle on their body. Her representation is a step backwards for her race, gender, and the Republican Party.
The facts are that people from Atlanta are not the same as people in Seattle or Los Angeles, she says. Over 60 years ago, we may have gotten it right then, but we're evolving backward toward the cultures that existed prior to the decline of the United States.
Miss Minor, Justice Ellis speaks. During the last two public meetings of the court, you have suggested we revert back to a system that alienates our citizens. We are one nation. Everyone should receive the same rights and benefits, and one Supreme Court justice cannot change that. We were talking about securing our borders, and you went off on the same tangent. I have to turn the TV off and dry myself off, or I'm going to teleport up there and carry her outside by her platinum blonde hair. I'm 59 this year, and every time I wake up or get out of this tub, I feel 94. My skin might be bulletproof, but my joints aren't immune to abuse. Since there aren't message boards or forums, people send their political rants to the newspapers, which only makes for good kindling. I still end up reading the vent section, and every morning more people bring up Veritas Minor. There are the white men down here that think she's right about bringing back state territories, and therefore a Senate and House of Representatives. No one outside of the South agrees with her, though. It was a Southerner who connected the world through the teleportation system. So there's no traveling distance between Atlanta and Seattle, or even Moscow. However, there's always people who prefer to remain unenlightened in their little worlds. I know that I can do anything I want with no consequences. Why not give in to that for the betterment of the world? Still, I shouldn't recklessly hurt people. Even if I'll never see hell, my guilt can make my remaining years just as tortuous. And I cannot live with the guilt of allowing people like Veritas Minor think they can change the government back to a corruptible mess. If I leave now, I can catch the last part of the meeting. I'll have to drive to the teleportation terminal and hope there's one near the Capitol. D.C. used to be a no-fly zone, so I imagine having teleportation terminals near the government buildings might complicate security. I imagine myself walking in there, no security guard able to stop me, and grabbing Minor by the hair as I pull her over the table and hold her up as an example of what New America will not stand for. If everyone in the world wasn't aware of Nero Sullivan before, they sure will when I humiliate the justice. Distracting yourself with envy for powerful women? Lilith appears in the doorway leading to the garage, as if on cue. I thought about killing her and absorbing her satanic power on Earth, but that would spit on my entire legacy. I avoided ending lives for so long only to succumb through necessity. Everyone I hurt deserved their demise, and I have to believe that. Otherwise, I'm just a serial killer. Why would I need to distract myself when you're here? I ask.
Almost. Lilith holds up her thumb and her forefinger. I understand your frustration with Birch, and I'd like some help. Could you delay your rampage in DC and talk for a minute?
Don't lead up to it. Just tell me what you want.
Okay, then. I want out of this. Playing this role as Satan drains me of everything I love about myself, and I've never been purely evil. I want to be back on Earth with Birch, but his power has corrupted him. It's all well and good that he wants to help people, and I saw just how many times he tried to do that and failed.
And neither of us can stop him if he gets out of control, I say.
He didn't destroy that school for those children. Chester thinks Birch is a god, and he's not going to take your side over his. So, we need to revive Lucifer. Have him take his power back from Birch, and repair the damage it caused to his brain.
I thought Birch destroyed Lucifer's soul, I ask.
But he wasn't the only Lucifer.
That's going to undo everything Birch worked for, though. With you as Satan, the world's greatest threat is Birch.
Exactly. Lucifer learned that he needed humans and didn't want to destroy mankind.
I'm not about to help her resurrect Lucifer because she wants to file her 2 weeks' notice. We have other resources through much less devious souls in hell. One of them has experience in this role. Resurrect Murray, I say. If he doesn't want the role, Birch dated his daughter. Either one might be able to take the power from him.
That wouldn't work, Lilith says. Before, it was Alan Price who had Lucifer's soul directly attached to his like a silver thread.
Connect their souls, then, I say. It's your problem, Lilith.
There is another option, Lilith says.
We'll need Birch to be away from anyone but you, though.
Invite him over to talk, and I'll send the right person back.
As much as I don't want to hurt Birch, and certainly don't love the thought of his memories being erased, he's too much of a liability to the world. Part of me wants to stop whatever Lilith is planning because I don't want to betray him, and that dishonor isn't part of my character. Chester definitely won't respect me. Without a phone number, I can't call Birch, and I have no idea where he went with Chester. Considering my hair is white again, my wrinkles returned, and my joints burn as I leave the bathroom, I'd say he's going to be back to gloat or entice me into something. I miss when he just wanted to be left alone. His stunt at the school made the news, and maybe he's in D.C. intimidating the cowards like Veritas Minor. I hope he'll find her personality acerbic enough to turn her into a three-legged mutt. If he really did this to win over Chester, then he doesn't need to go anywhere at all. It's all about revenge for Chester. In school, I had a hard time understanding books. Though I wasn't a bad reader so much as couldn't comprehend what the authors intended. Because of the cool cover art, I tried reading Wrinkle in Time, but none of the descriptions created images in my head. Trying to figure out all of this out reminds me of that feeling when words on a page made me feel stupid.
Do you sleep better when you're old or young?
Birch invites himself to sit down across from me and turns off the TV. Chester didn't come with him, so I guess this is going down in a moment. Hopefully he doesn't sense that I'm ready for something to happen, but it helps that I don't know what Lilith is planning. I have always been afraid if I sleep too deeply, I'll wake up to find someone else I love is dead next to me, I say. There are other women, Nero. Why'd you turn off my TV?
Lilith was here yesterday, Bert says. I can still smell her smoke. What'd she want?
She misses you, I say. Something like that, anyway. That smoke isn't from yesterday, though. There's something smoldering in the corner of the room behind Birch. Before he even turns his head a quarter of an inch, a hand reaches out for Birch's chin. When he flinches and pulls away on instinct, a dark figure tumbles over him and onto my rug. Whoever stands erect as if snapping up like a mousetrap makes Birch sit still as his skin flushes. Once Birch reaches his hand through the figure's chest, I see Chester's face look back at me as his head falls back. Lilith probably plotted this the moment he fell for her. Charming someone in the Trinity is like holding a full house up your sleeve. When did she convince him without Birch finding out? When Chester begins staining my rug and Birch holds one of his organs, a whirlwind forms, and the glass on my television and all of the windows crack. Birch screams as if someone grabs him by the balls and a phantom pulls itself from the swirling force as Chester's corpse evaporates. Lilith emerges out of the flames that shoot out of Birch as if she was inside of him. The chaos ends. Everything that the whirlwind broke mends in her presence. I wasn't expecting her to claim the satanic power, and maybe she never wanted to reunite with Birch at all. Then I feel a hand on my shoulder, but I don't grab it like Birch did. I look around to see a woman, though it takes me a moment to register that Rosa is standing behind me. Now I'm on my feet, expecting Lilith to try pulling me into hell or tossing Birch at my head like a boomerang. But the room is empty, and it's just Rosa in my line of sight. She's pretty smart, I say.
And you're pretty old, Rosa touches my face.
I hope you have daddy issues, I say. Before I can question how she's here, Rosa tugs on the neck of my shirt and kisses me. I imagine I'm pretty bad at this since it's been so long, but her nails run up the back of my neck. I feel the pressure ease on my knees, and my skin tightens again.
You look just the way I left you, she says.
Seeing Rosa alive and feeling her touch me again doesn't erase the image of her lying dead next to me in the years I mourned her while trying to distract myself by helping Atlanta. Eventually, I began to heal. Scar tissue is merely a mask, and her presence opens that memory back like a mortal wound.
I'm sorry, Rosa wipes under my eye.
It'll be fine, I'm sure, I say. But how can you come back like this? Did Lilith plan on killing Chester and reviving you the moment he died?
He sold his soul when Lilith offered him a harem in hell and the opportunity to take Birch's power.
What did she gain from reviving you?
She liked me, Rosa says. Not many souls are willing to talk with Satan.
There's another reason. She didn't do this as a favor to either of us.
I suppose replacing Chester with someone who has already been part of this game is better than chancing someone new coming along.
Though I'd love to spend the day catching up with Rosa, I have to live with helping Lilith fuck over Chester. Another soul being a dormant weapon in hell and possibly hurting Birch. I'm not sure whether or not Lilith ever loved Birch or simply missed living on Earth. With Birch not owning any property or having any assets that I'm aware of, I'm not even sure where they'll live. She's likely taking care of that before she relinquishes the satanic title. Did Lilith ever say who was going to take her place? I ask.
Take her place? Lilith didn't say she was going anywhere.
She told me she wanted to be back on Earth with Birch. Now that really would be hell.
Thank you.